Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 5, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft. On Wednesdays, just for a little incentive to listen to this full episode, I nailed the worst finish the lyric performance. I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler. It's Rihanna, and I don't know what I was thinking. I obviously thought for a moment that I wasn't tone deaf, so please listen to the end or fast forward to the end and hear literally the worst singing ever to take place on the Wild On podcast. Today's guest is the Hellbent Vixen. She is the face of the West Coast, a six-belt champion, California Wrestler of the Year, and the first Vietnamese-American professional wrestler. You may recognize her from AAA, AEW, and Impact Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, my girl, Viva Van. This was kind of like divine timing because we got to meet in person really briefly at Impact before we met interactively.
We did, yeah.
So I want to skip right over the wrestling and I want to talk about Mocking of the Trinity. How, when did Viva Van become a musician? Tell me about the journey.
This is way before wrestling. Cool. So always been a huge fan of death metal, like pretty much like getting out of high school. In my early like adulthood, I was going to shows all the time and yeah. I was seeing like women that were starting to front death metal bands, and it inspired me to start too, because I'm like, I have a passion for this as well, I'm gonna give it a shot. And I didn't. It was fun while it lasted, but it was very, very hard to keep up with four other people in a band.
Having a band is a full-time gig.
Yeah.
So did you finish with the band and then get into wrestling, or were you balancing both at the same time?
I was trying to, well, I had stopped my band way before I started wrestling.
Okay.
A year or two before I started wrestling, but I was trying to juggle school with my band, and it was impossible to do.
Okay. Understandable. Yeah. What were you taking in school?
I was going to school at the time I started with accounting, and mm-hmm. then I eventually switched over to marketing, okay. but it was for business.
Okay. Did you end up finishing?
Yeah, I did. I graduated in 2020.
Congratulations. Amazing.
Thank you so much.
So many people start that journey and, you know, you get other opportunities or other passions, and it's really hard to finish. So that's amazing. I just want to hold space and say well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I loved being in a death metal band. It was so much fun during that time. And I wish I can, like, maybe in the future do a few projects here and there. But with my wrestling schedule, I don't think I can commit to a band.
Okay, so we went from death metal front woman to marketing, accounting, into then marketing, into professional wrestling. What was the mindset? Like, not the journey. I know we all find a professional wrestling school, something. For you, actually, I feel like maybe we should give a little light to that. You were in a car accident, right? And that's what inspired you to get into professional wrestling? Or there was like a big ba-da-da-da situation?
I've always wanted to do something in like entertainment, or, you know, wrestling was one of my dreams. Being a singer was one of my dreams, you know, even acting was one of my dreams. And I did my singing. It didn't go anywhere. I did the acting. I gave up on it. It was hard at the time. Okay. And then, so I was like, there's one more thing that I haven't tried, which was professional wrestling. And I remember I was a broke college student at the time. So yeah. I wanted to start so badly. I looked up the nearest wrestling schools near me, saw the tuition for it. I'm like, there's no way I can afford that. At least yeah. right now I can't. So I just remember that was a Friday leading into a weekend. And I remember I had just left one of my classes from Mountain Sac at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't know, you can say I'm praying about it or whatever, but I'm just like, I don't know, how can I get this money? But I need this money to start professional wrestling, to start training. Mm-hmm. And a car hit me from behind And not that that's funny or anything, but it wasn't a serious accident. It was just like a fender bender. And the guy was
Okay.
like, I don't want to get insurance involved. So here's a check and we'll call it a day. And I'm like, it was exactly the amount that I needed. And my car didn't look that bad. So I was like, you know what? I can live with this little scratch on my car. And I started that following Monday.
I mean, like, okay, so the universe has a weird way of working itself out. You
Yeah.
manifested the money.
I think I definitely manifested it.
That is a great story because, like, you know, I am a professional. I looked up your Wikipedia, and in my mind, when I read car accident, I thought you had like a coming to God moment where it was like a
Wait, that's
brush with death.
on
Yeah. You're cited as saying like a car accident basically had you see the light of professional wrestling. So I thought
Oh,
it was like this disaster, but
that's
I like your story way better because it's talking about manifestation.
Also, manifestation is in my
It
Wikipedia.
is now. It sure is now. Cited by Taylor Wilde on Wild On. You're welcome. Okay. So you were trained by one of my favorite people in professional wrestling, which is Rikishi. He is the most beautiful soul. What kind of things, anyone getting into professional wrestling, what would you give a shout out to Rikishi's training? What stood out to you?
What stood out to me is the patience he had, obviously the knowledge he has, because he's someone who's
Sure.
done it all, you know, Hall of
Yeah.
Famer. If you want the best advice, I think you want, you know, a teacher who is a Hall of Famer and has been on TV weekly. And so he's definitely patient. He's the way how he would word things in training, it would just click for me. And
Right.
psychology is a big thing at Knox Pro as well. Not just learning the moves, but like putting the psychology behind it. Why are you doing this? What's your purpose of why you're making this decision in wrestling or this move?
He's one of those people. He's just quiet, you know, he's loud when he needs to be,
Yes,
but it's
loud
like
when he
he's
needs
one of those.
to be.
He takes everything in. He's not like a reactive person, which is a perfect demeanor because you want somebody that's like level at all times. So you come from a Vietnamese background. Is that
Yeah, that's
correct?
correct.
What does your family think about their baby Viva
I
Van being a death metal singer turned professional wrestler?
think my family is always gonna like, oh, well, they call me Vicky, so they're probably all like, oh, you know how Vicky is. She's always out there like that. You can't tell her anything. You tell her no, she does it more. That's where that came
Oh.
from. So with my mom, she's always been supportive of everything that I have put my mind to. She just told me, you know, just make sure you go to school and you know, just have a backup plan, but you can do whatever the hell you want, just do that. And my dad, I'm not as close to my dad. I just recently got close to him throughout like the last, I want to say last 7 years or so. And so he wasn't in my life for most of it, but once like I started, I didn't tell him about it until like I was 2 years in. My little brother gave me away to my dad, and I was scared that he wouldn't
Oh.
accept it because I don't know him like that, so I don't know if he would accept it. I don't know if he would be supportive or not. So my dad actually took it really well, and he actually watched my matches on YouTube, and he's like, "You're actually really good. You should keep it up." But I did finish college, so I think that has a lot to do with my parents not giving me any crap about
Hey,
it.
I mean, like, that's the best way. You just, if you fulfill your parents'
Yeah.
wishes, like, I think that's pretty cool parenting. Like, just get a backup and live your dreams. Like, I think that's actually perfect parenting.
Aw, yeah, I
Do
think so too.
you have
I
siblings?
do. I have three brothers and one sister.
Okay, so that explains the
I
toughness. You've grown up with a bunch of
think
boys. That definitely
also because I'm
helps.
the oldest as well. I had to be the tougher
Ah,
one.
do they come to your local shows?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but yeah.
I think it's one of those things. It's like when it's in your family and you know, that's just our
Yeah,
sister,
if they're
whatever.
into wrestling or not, yeah. Most of the time they do come because I feel like I perform outside of LA more than I do in LA. So
Makes
when I do have
sense.
a show in LA, they do always like mostly come out. And my mom, I don't like bringing her out all the time because she's always asking if I'm okay because she's worried all the time. Like, she's like, how was that move? That was such a big move. How are you okay? So I don't want to worry my mom too much. So I'll invite her like once in a great while.
That's fair. She's a good mom. You have to worry about your baby getting hurt.
Yeah.
So you have a really, really unique look, a look that I'm very, very biased towards. I love it. It's like rock and roll and witchy and satanic and death metal-y. So is this the like imagery you had when you were in the band, or is this kind of like an evolution when you became a wrestler?
The streak came along when I started wrestling, but I've always dressed metal. Like I'm a metalhead since high school. So metal has always been a part of most of my adulthood. So if you look at pictures from like 10 years ago, I've always been a metalhead.
I love it. So it's you.
And the red streak is just a new addition within the last few years.
Okay. So your character is just you turned up to 100. Like you get to just be the loudest version of Vicky.
That is the best description. Yeah, that's the
script. You have been on AAA. You recently wrestled my big-headed sister, Madison Rain, on AEW. I saw you at Impact. You're doing big things. What keeps you grounded? What keeps you motivated? Like, tell me all the good things, especially for people wanting to get into the business.
I feel like my main goal is that, yeah, I've done, like, shows like AAA, done AEW and Impact, but the goal still isn't complete. The goal is to see more wrestlers, Vietnamese wrestlers on TV. Because growing up, I didn't see any Vietnamese wrestlers at all growing up that I could relate to, you know?
Sure.
I see other like Asians, like Japanese wrestlers and, you know, Samoan Dynasty, like seeing Rikishi, but like there wasn't someone that was Vietnamese where I could be like, that is someone exactly like me. Yeah. And that is my goal, is that I feel like it will be completed when that happens.
Okay.
And until then, the work is not done until we get there.
Love this. Did you grow up with a spiritual upbringing, whether it was actual religion, or are you into like tarot or crystals or meditation, anything like that?
I don't really have like a set religion because I grew up like the first half of my life Buddhist. And then when my mom remarried, we were, you know, baptized into being Catholic. And so I felt like there wasn't really a religion that I could relate to, other than like, I feel like there is something out there because I do pray. I don't know what I'm praying to, but like I'm talking to someone out there. Yeah. And you know, sometimes things get answered. And so I don't really have a set religion. I just know that there is something out there and I don't know what it is. So
now, I think I read somewhere as well that you contributed to the only professional wrestling school in Vietnam. Do you want to talk about that?
So as I mentioned, you know, when I first started, I was like, there are no Vietnamese wrestlers. I'm just going to Google it. What if there is somewhere? Yeah. Somewhere out there, I just don't know about them. They don't know about me. So I found this documentary about Vietnam pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I saw they did a documentary. They were in like a boxing ring at the time. And I had reached out to them. I was like, oh, so there is a group out there. Let me see if I could get booked on their show.
Yeah.
So I found them on Facebook. I messaged them. And they're like, hey, we just learned about you too. We saw some of your matches on YouTube and we would love to have you come out. But the only thing is we don't have a wrestling ring. We wrestle on like a 2-inch mat. And that's when I realized, oh, so the documentary, you guys, you know, they explained that they just did that for the documentary. They don't have a ring. They've never built a ring. Wrestling is still very new in Vietnam. And so I felt like that was my calling right there. Let me help you guys out. Let's start a GoFundMe. And, you know, let's get the U.S. Indies in on it and see if they can spread awareness for you guys. And we were able to raise the money within 2 months, I believe. And now they've been throwing shows every month and they're doing great. I just want to make it out there one day, but, you know, but they're thriving and I'm so happy for them. And I hope to see more Vietnamese wrestlers come out from there.
Yeah, that is amazing. I hope I hope that in itself was fulfilling to give back to your culture, to give back. And hopefully they have you out for a show ASAP, because that ring wouldn't exist without you.
And it will happen. Don't know when, but it will.
And for our listeners that don't know, there is a massive difference between a boxing ring and a professional wrestling ring. A boxing ring doesn't have a huge spring in the middle, minimal padding, and probably, you know, more solid 2x4s than ones that, you know, have been worked in a little bit. So you've probably extended all those wrestlers' careers by at least 5 to 10 years. Yeah. Now, AAA, my time in Mexico is one of my favorite times in wrestling. It was really early on in my career, and it really taught me that professional wrestling is an international language. You don't have to speak Spanish. You just get through it. Tell me about your time with AAA, because that's a pretty, a lot of people, you know, work their whole careers to get to a AAA or a CMLL.
I guess I should explain. I really don't tell people the backstory, how I even like got there.
Yeah, let's hear it, girl.
So I was only 3 months into training, and I maybe barely started lucha class. I don't even remember. Yeah. But like, I'm very new. Someone told me, oh, you should go to this tryout. Probably more to like, for me to make a fool of myself. I had no idea. So I went, and now I'm looking back. It was for Arrow Lucha at the time, and Conan was there.
Okay.
And I did the tryout. I did know lucha, by the way. This tryout. I just did basic stuff that I knew that I could do. I kept it safe or whatever.
Yep.
I did it, and I had no business being there, but I did it. But Conan saw potential in me, and he, you know, we exchanged emails. He says, just keep emailing me your improvements and your update. I see potential in you. Just, you know, just keep it up. So throughout the next year and a half, I would send him like updates of my latest matches and stuff. And one day I got invited to go hang out at a AAA house show in TJ. Yeah. And this was in December of 2018. I brought my gear with me, because at the time my school told me, like, always bring your gear everywhere with you. Even if you're not booked on the show, you just never know.
True.
So I did. And Conan remembered me from the tryout, and he was like, hey, do you have your gear on you? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'm going to add you to 2 segments in the main event. And I did it that night.
Wow. That rules.
Yeah. So after a year and a half of communicating with him through email after the Arrow Lucha tryout, I made my debut on AAA that way.
You have to have a little bit of delusional confidence to be in this business. And it's fake it till you make it. And that's a lot of the entertainment industry. Like, we don't all come into it perfect, but we all want the same things. It's just who wants it more. And that is a great story. Like, I love that, because that just shows your tenacity and your ability to take a risk. You're like, fuck, I have no business being there, but you got the job. So you did.
I think the person who told me to go to that tryout wanted me to make a fool of myself, but it ended up working out for me. So
that makes it so much sweeter.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even matter where they're at today, because thank you for giving you that fuel. What are some things you'd like our listeners, your fans, to know about you that they wouldn't be able to find on the internet about? Like, you know, we see our stats, where we're from, maybe a fun fact. What's something interesting about you, or maybe close to your heart, that we wouldn't be able to find out otherwise?
Anything?
Anything. Girl, I am interviewing you. This is your hour. You tell me.
Okay, well, fun fact, I am obsessed with drinking boba or bubble tea, however.
I love that.
my closest friends, if you've ever gone to boba with me, you are considered one of my closest friends. So,
okay, so it's not even just you love it, it's like an exclusivity club with you. Yeah,
so I don't invite everyone to go drink boba with me.
And how do you, what's your favorite drink? Like, tell me what goes into it.
I probably get the most basic Asian drink ever, which is the brown sugar milk tea. But other than that, like it also not just became like an exclusive thing, like it became a thing after training at Knox Pro where all the students started inviting, like I guess I should take credit for that. I started that, oh, let's go boba after training. And you know, I'm not there all the time since I'm traveling a lot and working a lot, and I hear that the students at
Sure.
Knox Pro are still doing that in my honor. So I
Oh,
appreciate
that's
boba after
really cool. Shout out to
training.
Boba. Tell me what other like cultural or heritage things that are a part of your everyday that maybe our listeners or fans wouldn't know about you.
Nothing that we celebrate like daily or weekly, but I mean, if it even matters, there's always rice in my rice cooker.
That
So that is
okay.
very, you know.
We love this. Do you do a steam facial over your rice cooker? Because I've heard this is a thing.
Is a thing, but I haven't tried that, no.
Oh, come on. You're ruining my dreams here.
I'm very lazy when it comes to doing facials and stuff like that, so that's probably why I haven't tried it. But I have
That's
heard
because you
other
got
family
that good
members
skin.
doing that.
All the girls that got that good skin are always lazy towards their skincare.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Okay, well, what's your favorite Vietnamese food?
I think I just love pho. Like as basic as that sounds,
Okay.
it's just comforting. You know, it's good
No.
anytime. Especially when it's cold, you know,
Yeah.
or when you're sad, you know, you need a little pick me up. Some pho always like makes you feel better. Or if like, well, I don't drink, but like I've heard the people who say that when they're hungover, they love pho. It helps solve their whatever they're feeling.
Their hangover.
Hangover, yeah. So pho is like, I love it. Typical Vietnamese as that sounds, but like, I love
No, that's
you. Part of my culture growing up, which we don't do anymore, but like my mom worked at a nail salon. That's a huge thing in the Vietnamese community. Like anyone who's
totally.
like, you know, had just came over from Vietnam and they're trying to start like a job or career, a lot of them end up in the nail industry. And my mom was one of those people. And I remember like going to work with her every day. Like she'll pick me up from school and we'll be at the nail salon. I'll be doing my homework at the nail salon. So that's something that was part of my
Wow.
everyday life until maybe I want to say junior high is when she found a different
Okay.
career. I think, yeah, I think it's a thriving industry. And also like just when families like start businesses, it's just easy to bring your family into it. So people just go
Sure.
wherever like they're recommended or a friend of a friend tells a friend. It just became that. So
One, no one has a better sense of humor, but two, you always know they're talking shit right to your face, and you're like,
it's
ah.
funny because like speaking of that, I do go get my nails done too, and sometimes I'll go in and I don't tell them that I'm Vietnamese. I just want to see if they're gonna talk shit. Most of the time they assume I'm like Filipino or something. they
Just
they
what?
they don't ever think that a Vietnamese
Ah.
person goes to go do their nails too, I guess. But like I'll just go to see if they talk
That's
shit, and if
funny.
they do, I'll respond to them. See their reaction. And they always
I
end up giving
love
me like a
that.
discount because of it. So it works out in my favor.
I'd like to do my top 10 tailor-made questions with you. It is not a speed round. It is just like a get to know you using really wacky, dark questions. So the first one is, have you thought about your funeral? What would it look like? And what would the music be?
Yeah, I've never thought about what I want at my funeral, but I just hope that my family, you know, they're not too sad. Like, you know, they're proud of me, they're happy of anything that I've done, and that's all I hope for.
And couldn't it be like Mocking of the Trinity's like EP kind of thing playing,
Probably
or
not for
is that
my
a bit
family.
heavy?
My family did not listen to Dunlap.
What is your zodiac sign, and what do you believe is your greatest compatibility, zodiac sign?
I'm an Aries.
Oh, you crazy bitch.
Aries and people that I feel like I get along with the most would probably be like Leos and Virgos.
Do you have a supernatural hidden talent or power?
This is very different. I don't really share this, but I guess you can say I'm a sensitive when it comes to like paranormal. Like I can go to a house if it's haunted, I will be the first one to know because they will like touch me or contact me. So, not that I'm a psychic.
We're sisters.
I cannot communicate with them, but like I can feel it when a place is haunted.
It's like a scary thing to know because you're just like, well, I don't
share
it
that often because most people don't understand that. But
so then if you go to like mausoleums or cemeteries, that's probably like a very exhausting experience for you.
I did a photo shoot one time at, I don't know if you heard of Linda Vista Hospital in Boyle Heights, LA. It was abandoned for quite some time. Now I think it's a retirement home, which is a very bad idea, but you know, can't control that. But it was abandoned for quite some time and people would shoot movies there and or do photo shoots there. And I did one there. And within 10 minutes of just being there, we were looking at rooms to shoot in, and we would switch the light on to like go back to that room that we want to do the shoot in. And one of the first rooms we walked in, I was the last one to walk out. And this is how I knew it was really haunted, because I felt hands, cold hands, grab onto my arm and pulled me back into the room. And I just froze. Like, I wasn't even there for that long. So it was just like, it's just like situations like that. That's how I know, okay, there's something here. And that's when I like realized, you know what? Like, no one else even felt this. Only I did. And yeah, that's how I learned that I was a sensitive to things.
My next question usually is, do you believe in ghosts? And if so, do you have a ghost story? But you just nailed it all in that one question.
I have more ghost stories if you want to hear, but you know, that's just one of them.
I would love, give me another one. Give me your favorite ghost story.
Ghost story. The house my grandparents grew up in, I felt was always haunted. I did live there for a short time as well. And there was a restroom in the back of the house. So we had two restrooms, but this one was in the back of the house. And I remember my grandma was a babysitter. So she would babysit all these kids and I would play with them before their parents would come pick them up after school. And I remember we were playing hide and seek. I think I was 6 years old at this time. We were playing hide and seek. And my first reaction was, let's go to the back restroom because no one's going to go there. And when I ran in there, I immediately felt instant regret. And I ran right in front of the mirror where the sink was at. And I looked at it and I was like, wait, no one goes in here because it's probably, you know, everyone is scared of this restroom. And as soon as I did that, the light flickered on and off and the toilet seat shut down. And I heard a woman's voice yell at me. And I ran out so fast and I didn't even play hide and seek anymore because like it's over. We're not playing this anymore. You know, I thought like, yeah, no one goes in there. And then once I go in, I remember why no one goes in there, because they're scared of that restroom.
Did you ever say anything to your parents or your
elders? I remember telling my mom, but it almost felt like she believed me, but she didn't want me to keep talking about it. So she kind of like brushed it off to make me forget about it.
Okay.
I've heard like adults in my grandparents' home like talking about, oh, they experienced this, they experienced that, but they never ever wanted to talk to me about it because they didn't want to scare me.
Sure. Yeah. Whew, so yeah, like most sensitives, it starts in childhood when you're your most innocent and the most open, but it stayed with you. So that is a superpower. And thank you for sharing that story. I love a good ghost story. So let's talk about it. Nip slip, incontinence, lip slip, sharding. What has been your most embarrassing moment in the ring?
Probably nip slip. But I had pasties on, but the pasties was the same color as my nipple. Oh. So in the picture, it looked like a nip slip still, but it wasn't, you know? But I'm like, people are going to think it's a nip slip. So that has happened to me.
But power move.
I'm going to pick a different color from now. Why did I pick the same color? Whatever. Learning experience, right?
Totally. I mean, like, increase in ratings, but also you were smart enough to have a pasty on, so well done you.
But it didn't look like it.
But you know. There was no nipple.
I know.
What is your biggest professional wrestling pet peeve?
Okay. Just like forgetting stuff. Especially for like a very big match, I will always tend to forget whether it's one knee pad or my stockings, the fishnets I wear underneath. Like something goes wrong. That is my biggest pet peeve.
Fair, fair. That just shows your level of stress.
Yeah.
Forgetting something. And you've jinxed yourself. So now you know that whenever something big's coming, you're gonna fucking forget something.
Yeah.
You gotta change the energy you're throwing into the world. Be like, I will remember everything.
I will remember
because
yes.
I'm calm. Who is your favorite band or artist?
My favorite band will always probably be Death.
Okay.
Yeah, Death is my favorite like band of all time. Artist, I mean, because I listen to all types of music. I love Rihanna, and she released a new album. Or it's been a minute.
I know she keeps having those babies, and I'm like, girl,
she doesn't need to release albums, you know, anymore. She's doing well for herself. I'm just saying, like, you know, for the rest of us that are fans, big fans of hers, we would love to see music.
I think the thing about Rihanna that's so interesting and so different is she was from day one really unapologetically herself and really radiated that dark feminine energy. Like, this is me and my sexuality. If you can't handle it, goodbye. No one asked you to come here.
Yeah, we love that.
Yes, we do love that. What movie changed your life?
I don't really have a movie that I can say changed my life, but my favorite movies, I think The Exorcist would be like my favorite horror movie because that's what got me into horror movies. My stepdad, he showed me that when I was 6 years old, and that got me obsessed with horror movies. Like, I just wanted to keep seeing more and more and more. But other like funny movies that I love are like 50 First Dates. I know that's, but I love
it. No, that's a great one.
I feel like whenever I'm sad, I'll pop that movie in. Who says that anymore? Pop a movie and that's all. You know what I mean? Put it on.
Girl.
If it's on Netflix or whatever streaming service is on, 50 First Dates always like cheers me up.
That's a great movie. That's a great guilty indulgence movie. And I was born in 1986, so I know what you mean by pop a movie and I got you. Who has been your most embarrassing crush of all time?
When I was younger, I had a crush on Bow Wow, and this is when he used to call himself Little Bow Wow. Yeah,
that's actually really cute. We love this. Now he's Big Bow Wow. So,
but yeah, that was something that I was always embarrassed to admit. Now as an adult,
now we've told the world. Yeah. You're welcome. Where can the Wild On listeners find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Hellbent Vixen on Twitter, TikTok, IG, and Facebook.
Love it. Okay, last one. Finish this lyric. So shine bright tonight.
I'm sorry, I froze.
You and I were beautiful like diamonds in the
sky. Oh, you're Rihanna.
You can't tell because I'm tone deaf.
No, I'm sorry.
What more does the Wild On team love than a badass death metal singer, marketing student, turned professional wrestler? That is exactly the kind of weird wildness we love to have on this show, where we get Wild On Wednesdays, or if you are an Impact Insider, you get access on Taylor Wild Tuesdays. I hope you're enjoying the content that Wild On is bringing you weekly. Don't be shy. Head on over to my Instagram, Twitter, at RealTaylorWild if there are some guests that you would like to see. And don't forget to take a look at our stellar archive of former guests. I could not, would not be able to do this podcast without my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On team. My queen, my right-hand woman, my creative partner, editor and producer, Rochelle Duras, and all the things on the interwebs that I don't understand, marketing specialist, Madison Golshani. Thank you, and I love you guys. And until next week, stay calm and wild on. Blessed be.